Welcome to the Christchurch London podcast. This is a talk from our Stockwell service. To find out about upcoming talks at each of our services, or to listen to other talks, please visit christchurchlondon.org.
Good morning, everyone. I'm really excited to be sharing with you this morning. Before we begin, can we just quickly pray? Father, I come before you right now in the name of Jesus, and I just thank you for using me as a willing vessel to deliver your word as inspired by Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that my speech and my preaching is not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but is in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of his power. I pray that your people have an ear to hear and a heart to receive your word this morning. We invite you, Holy Spirit, into this place right now and say, have your way. Lord, speak a word to me and through me so that someone is set free, someone is saved, and someone is healed. And for that, Lord, we thank you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Right, for those that don't know me, my name is Shininga. I am married to the lovely Helen. She doesn't just fancy me. And we have two lovely daughters, Layla, who is 9, and Tammy, who's 5. We also have a jet black cockapoo called Buddy, who I'm slowly starting to get attached to after 17 months of living rent-free in my house. So for those of you interested in finding out a bit more about Buddy, please go to the Christchurch website and look for the last sermon I preached. I cover our interesting history and relationship in a fair bit of detail. I do also talk about Jesus, by the way, and how he's working on my love for Buddy. You know, we're all on a journey. Don't judge me. There was a point there where there was going to be some serious black-on-black violence in my house. But God is working. Don't judge me. God is working on me and on my heart and working. You know, we're working towards a loving relationship, me and Buddy. Before we begin, I just want to draw you to the screen just to watch this short video.
I was born in Melbourne, Australia, 1982, and my parents had no idea that I was going to be born without arms or legs. I was the only one that I ever saw without limbs. My faith in Jesus Christ was sealed after 7 years of wondering why, God, I was born this way. He answered me very clearly through John chapter 9. And I gave my life to Jesus at 15 after reading about how he came across a man who was born blind. And I'm like, hey, hold on a second, this looks interesting. And no one knew why he was born that way. I'm like, perfect. So I read on, and in verse 3 of the 9th chapter, Jesus said, it was done so that the works of God would be revealed through him. And I'm like, wow, God, if you had a plan for the blind man, you do have a plan for me. And that was the beginning of my personal relationship with Jesus. Youth groups were starting to call me, churches were starting to call me, opportunities were opening up everywhere for me to share my testimony. I was speaking in front of 300 sophomore public high school students. 3 minutes into it, half the girls were crying. One girl in the middle of the room started weeping. She put up her hand and she said, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but can I come up there and give you a hug? In front of everyone, she came and she hugged me. She cried on my shoulder and whispered in my ear, no one's ever told me that they love me. No one's ever told me that I'm beautiful the way that I am. I couldn't believe it. It changed my life. At that moment, I knew God was ministering to her through me. It's not by my speech or my power, it was God. And my heart was ignited with a passion. And it was an awesome day to see one soul transformed forever. That was when I knew I was called to be a worldwide evangelist.
Today, do not leave here unchanged. Leave here unchanged.
You don't know what God can do with your broken pieces until you give God your broken pieces.
And I want you to know when you fall down, God's grace is sufficient. God's hand will come down and pick you up. And give me the strength to get back up.
In the first 7 years of ministry, God opened up doors for me to speak 2,000 times across 44 countries on 6 continents, from university campuses, 40,000 students in China, to India, where we're talking to sex slaves, to crowds in the jungle of India, 110,000 people, down to Indonesia and all of Southeast Asia, to speaking at congresses of nations like Colombia and Costa Rica, where you see the leaders of that nation commit that country to the Lord Jesus. To Korea, and speaking into the next generation about depression and suicide, and to Eastern Europe, where we did Serbia, Slovenia, and Croatia. And then doors in the Middle East, the message of hope was spread throughout the whole Arab world. That is God. And we know we've just begun.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. What an amazing, amazing, incredible story. That is Nick Wojcik. He's one of the most inspirational people in the world. He has an incredible story that will encourage anyone. He has a message of hope for the world, a message that God loves us. Today, I'm going to briefly, and I promise it will be brief. It's been quite a service, hasn't it? It's been emotionally touching. And we're coming into land. I'm going to talk to you about God's love. Why? Well, because sometimes this Christian walk is challenging, to say the least. And sometimes it's easy to forget how much God loves us. I certainly found that when the stresses of everyday life begin to overwhelm me, I quickly forget how much God loves me. So I'd like to share a few things I've learned and that have helped me on this journey. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 tells us, God is love. There's a whole sermon series in that one statement alone. God is love. Maybe some of you can unpack that in your community groups or in your own private Bible study. A.W. Tozer said, "The love of God is one of the great realities of the universe, a pillar upon which the hope of the world rests. But it is a personal and intimate thing too." God's love is not something that we can earn or deserve. It is a gift freely given to us, even when we're still sinners. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we read, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is the ultimate expression of God's love, that he would sacrifice his own son to save us from our sins. I used to have trouble understanding this concept. What kind of love do you need to have for someone to sacrifice your own child, especially when we had our own children? And I was recently speaking to a friend of mine who's a new dad, and he said to me, "You know, I thought I knew what to love someone was when I met my wife. But when my son was born, I've never felt such a feeling, one that I would die for and kill for." I said, "Wow, that's deep. I really hope you feel the same way at 2 a.m. in the morning, having not slept for a week, buddy." This is, he's in that new phase, yeah. Any parents in the room? Yeah, we've all been there. Yeah. I give him 2 months and then he'll figure it out. This had me thinking whether I would sacrifice my children for anything. And the simple answer is no, absolutely not. Nope, nothing. Not one thing would I sacrifice my children for. And, you know, I'm not God. So, hey, you guys are in luck. I'm not going to be sacrificing anything. I'm Shininga. Praise the Lord. Amen. But the Lord your God is on your side. So pray to him. He will answer your prayers. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, we read the famous words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." This verse sums up the essence of God's love for us. He loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us so that we may have eternal life. That's the kind of love that will wait for you always. That's the kind of love that will embrace you when you've made a mistake. That's the kind of love that will guide you when you are lost. It's the kind of love that Ali was speaking about when your children are running amok and destroying your house and you realize, I cannot just chuck them out the window. I have to feed this child. And I keep telling my friends every time my children start to bother me or frustrate me or challenge my faith, I'm like, I prayed for this, you know. I remember praying for this. So I can't complain about these children. But the kind of love that God has for us is that kind of love. Saint Augustine was a 4th century Christian philosopher and theologian who struggled with sin and waywardness for many years before finally experiencing a profound conversion to Christianity. He wrote about his journey in his autobiography, Confessions, in which he described how God's grace and love transformed his life and drew him into a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. As Christians, we are called to love God in return. Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. We show our love for God by obeying his commandments, by following Jesus' example, and by sharing his love with others. Hence this amazing collection of people this Sunday morning. Another example is Corrie ten Boom, who was a Dutch Christian who, along with her family, helped to hide Jews from the Nazis during World War II. She and her family were eventually caught and sent to concentration camps where most of them perished. Corrie survived and went on to become a powerful speaker and advocate for forgiveness and reconciliation. She often spoke about how God's love sustained her through the horrors of the Holocaust and how she was able to forgive her captors because of that love. God's love. The good news is that we don't have to love God perfectly. We will make mistakes. We will stumble and we will fall. But God's love for us never, ever wavers. It never, ever wavers. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38 to 39, Paul writes, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ our Lord. I believe that God's love is boundless, it's infinite and unconditional. It is a love that transcends all boundaries, a love that reaches out to us even in our darkest, darkest moments, and a love that never, ever fails. On the 10th of April, 2011, Negus was at home with his younger brother, who asked him if they could go out and get some chicken and chips. So Negus helped him put his coat on and they started walking towards Edmonton High Street to go and get some chicken and chips. While they were walking down to the high street, 4 young men started chasing them down. And in a heroic attempt to protect his brother, Negus told him to keep running. And he turned back to fight the 4 boys off. And as he was fighting them off, sadly, he was stabbed multiple times and later on died of his injuries. Negus was in my church group. He was a young man I was mentoring at the time. And when I got the call at 1 a.m. that this had happened, I was in shock to say the least. But I was also angry and I was confused. And as I prayed, I needed answers. But one thing I've seen over and over and over again is how faithful God is, even in our darkest moments. God spoke to me and comforted me through those closest to me. which helped me to support Negus' family and subsequently go on to make a decision to work full-time for Big Kid, which is a youth charity that I run. And as a result of that, we've gone on to help and affect more than 25,000 young people's lives. And out of that really tragic moment, I saw and I understood God's love for me. And I saw and I understood what He wanted me to do. Where I could have gone into the depth of that darkness and stayed there and sat there and wallowed, God said, no, we have a bigger plan. We're going to turn this tragedy into something. We're going to turn this tragedy into a testimony that will save more young people from the dangers of some of these London streets. God loves you so much. And He wants you to know this, to really know this, so that you can go and tell someone else how much He loves them. So they too can go on and tell someone else how much He loves them. And they can go on and tell someone else to just keep breathing. That's why we're here. If I had given up, if I had decided to stop breathing, God knows how many more lives would have been lost. And we have that responsibility on us. Can I ask the band to come back up? In Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40, Jesus tells us that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. When we give generously to others, we are showing our love for God by obeying His commandments and demonstrating our faith. Right now, we're in a season leading up to Easter, and we are talking about generosity and how we as Christians have a defining characteristic, and that is our generosity. Generosity is an attitude of the heart that is driven by a desire to give of ourselves, our time, and our resources. It is a reflection of the love that God has shown us and a way we can share that love with others. God really loves you, where you are, what you are doing, and He wants to use you to show that love to someone else. At the beginning of the talk, we played a video of the extraordinary life of Nick Vujicic and how even through adversity, God has shown up strong in his life. That story, as well as countless others, remind us that God's love is real, it's current, it's powerful, and transformative. But most importantly, God's love is available to all who seek it. Could I ask you to just join me by standing to your feet? Lord, we just want to thank You for today. I want to thank You for these wonderful people that came in this morning. I want to thank You for all the messages that we've heard from the altar today. I just want to thank You, Lord, for loving us. I want to thank You for the amazing works You are doing on the hearts of Your people. I pray that anyone who's calling out to You will have a tangible experience of Your love, that they will know You and hear Your voice. I thank You, Lord, that what You've started today, You will continue. I thank You, Lord, that You will answer all of our prayers, that You will meet us at our very points of need, that Holy Spirit will continue to do a mighty work on the hearts of Your people. And we invite You into this place right now to continue that work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.